Hi, and welcome back to another episode here on Authentic Spoon Nutrition. I'm your host, Tess Keatley, an accredited practicing dietitian. This podcast is for anyone who's interested in learning about nutrition, business as a health professional, and also this year I'm changing things up and having authentic conversations with people who just really inspire me. Speaking of inspiring stories, today I had the pleasure of interviewing Nikki and Jimmy. Now, this is a beautifully moving podcast, and I cannot wait to share it with you all. So, Nikki is Jimmy's mum. Nikki is one of those people that you instantly gravitate towards. It was definitely like that for me when I first met her. She's just one of those people who is extremely positive, optimistic, resilient, and you just instantly want to be friends with her. Jimmy is a ray of sunshine. He always has a big smile on his face. Every time I see him, he has an infectious laugh. And Jimmy is also blind. He also lives with mental and physical disabilities. Although that does not stop Jimmy and Nikki from living their best lives. I hope that this podcast can give you some warm, fuzzy feelings like it did me and inspire you and maybe help you to think about things a little bit different when you're faced with adversity. So welcome, Nikki and Jimmy. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting us.
No worries. So I met Nikki probably nearly 8 months ago. Nikki and Jimmy moved in downstairs, and I have been very inspired by both of them in the last 7 or so months. And I'm going to tell you why. So I'm going to get you to start off, Nikki. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up?
So I was actually born in Perth, WA, and then we moved to Bundaberg when I was about 6 months old, and I grew up in Bundy from till about 12, mm-hmm. and then my mum moved us here to the Sunny Coast, and I've pretty much been here ever since. I think my childhood was a pretty normal childhood. You know, you have your ups and downs, and
yeah.
Whatever, how it goes.
As we all do.
Yeah, it was a little bit naughty.
Yeah. So what do you do for fun now? What are your interests?
I like to climb mountains. I like to surf when I can, even though I can't.
It's all learning.
Yeah, that's right. I like to go for long walks with Jimmy, get out and watch sunrises and sunsets, go for bike rides.
Yeah. Every time I see you on Instagram and I'm still laying in bed and you guys are watching the sunrise, I'm like, ah, I should have got up and done that. It looks so lovely. So we live in Bedina here on the Sunshine Coast, and we live very close to the local beach here, and it's absolutely beautiful. And you climb big, scary mountains that would terrify me. What is it, Mount Timbergargan?
Yes, so I've done that in Mount Biwa.
Yeah.
I do need help, though, because I'm so short, I can't always reach the little bits that you've got to grab onto. So I've never done them on my own. I've done it with people who can help me.
Yeah, that's good.
Because the first time I did it, I must admit, I was shaking.
Yeah.
Very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I get a bit scared of heights. So maybe one day I'll come with you.
Once you do it, you feel so good about yourself. Like, I actually climbed that.
Yeah, I feel really accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
Awesome. So you work part-time at the moment?
Yeah, just 3 days a week.
Awesome.
When Jimmy was at school, I worked full-time. But once he left school, there's nothing for children with disabilities to go to. Well, not when I did, mm-hmm. or when he left. So I went down to 3 days a week, which I love my job for allowing me to do that.
Mm.
And it's worked in our favour because I get to spend time with Jimmy, I get to have time for me, and I get to work. So it's all about balance, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think balance is so important for everything. So when did you have Jimmy? How old is Jimmy now?
Jimmy's 25 and I had him when I was 17.
Yeah. So. Did you struggle being a young mum, or?
I didn't so much as, how do I explain it? So I just went along with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm going to have this baby and I'm going to be the best mum I can be. And I did. And I guess it was more the looks you get. Being so young, you kind of get judged upon.
Yeah, like, it's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, but I think I did all right. I had my times, you know.
Yeah. And what was Jimmy like as a baby? Was he as smiley as he is now?
Yeah, happy he was. He's actually been a pretty good baby. Pretty easy to look after. Oh, you've taken your hair out, didn't you? His squinty eyes.
It's getting long now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was a good baby. Yeah. Very easy to look after. I'd have to say, I actually remember once when he was very young, I had a friend's dad said to me, it's going to get harder as you get older.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, as if it's going to get easier. But he was right. When Jimmy was a baby, it was easier than now. He's older and he's 25 and he's still a baby in those terms, if you were to put him against another 25-year-old.
Yeah. I get that in terms of, like, when you're 17, I suppose, where I remember I used to have so much energy when I was 17 and I was probably a lot fitter than I am now. But you're very fit now, so obviously you're strong.
Not as much. I think I've lost that fitness. That's one of my goals this year, to get fitter again.
It scares me, though, because I obviously I don't have children yet, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to be too old when I have them so that I have more energy, you know what I mean, to be like, you know, chasing them around and stuff like that.
You do get very tired.
Yeah.
As a mum, you do get...
Oh, sorry, you go.
No, Jimmy loves his sleeps, which is good, so I can rest too.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about Jimmy's personality.
Oh, you're a character, aren't you, Jimmy? So he's pretty much always laughing. He's got something funny to say. We'll be with a... Don't make that noise, Jimmy.
He's excited.
Yeah. I don't know, it's like he's very intuitive and he knows his surroundings and he's just always pretty happy.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty lucky. I've got a good kid there.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy.
He has a good aura, as we saw from Lenny. Every time Lenny sees him, she just goes crazy and just tries to jump up and
most dogs
say hello.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we'll be sitting down the beach and a dog will just come flying up the beach, stop at Jimmy, lick him, and run off.
Yeah.
And people will come up and go, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, all dogs do it.
Yeah. And he seems to like animals though, doesn't he?
He's yeah.
A gypsy and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kiska, yeah. A cat, and Gypsy the dog, and he'll yell out when I'm yelling out at them.
Yeah. And he does horse riding too?
Yes. And he's doing so well with it because it's a lot of core strength when he's sitting on the horse. And Cheer, the horse that we ride, she just is amazing with Jimmy, and so is Max, the lady that teaches us.
Yeah,
and he's learning a lot, aren't you, Jimmy? We went horse riding today, and it was Jimmy didn't like it too much because it was cold, but I had a go, and I realised the strength that you've got to actually have to sit on a horse.
Yeah,
and the way they move around, because he makes a lot of noise, and I thought, oh, he's sitting up straight. Why is he like going but I realised when they breathe, you feel everything.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And with the strength too, I remember I used to do it when I was younger. The insides of your legs would get really sore.
Yes.
Like, because you're obviously
holding on
and using all of that strength, definitely.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm a nutritionist and dietitian, so I always ask this question, but what are some of you guys' favourite foods?
Well, Jimmy's favourite all time is sushi.
Yeah.
He will eat that for days on end.
Yeah.
Right? So I make that at home in summer, not so much in winter.
Yeah.
And if I have it for lunches... all the time.
Yeah.
And then when we're out, if we've got sushi, yeah.
It's so easy too.
Yeah.
I always get it when I go grocery shopping.
It's the best thing. Yeah. So probably Thai food.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty flexible. Jimmy's pretty flexible. He'll eat whatever I eat.
Yeah.
So I like my Vietnamese spring rolls, which he can't eat because they're a little bit tougher and you have to chew them.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't understand the concept of chewing.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really chew the food. It kind of has to be soft.
Yeah,
a
bit
softer.
Sort of
thing.
Yeah. So ice cream's pretty soft.
Oh, yeah. Loves ice cream. Cheese is one of his favourite.
Oh,
cheese,
really?
And chocolate. Yeah.
We'll get along really well,
yes.
Jimmy. That's two of mine. I should have prepared a cheese and chocolate platter for us while we did this.
All of it.
So what are some of your greatest memories together?
The one that just pops to mind is when we went to Hawaii. When I first took Jimmy overseas, we've been in New Zealand, but our Hawaii trip in 2017, I think it was, and he just laughed the whole time.
Aww.
The flight was, I think, 9 hours.
Yeah.
He was perfect on it. When we got there, we still had to wait around to get into our accommodation or Airbnb, and he was still happy. And then we pretty much got showered and went straight to a bar, and he was still happy.
Oh, that's so
yeah.
cool.
And then one night, the three of us girls that I was with, we went out drinking with Jimmy, piggybacked him down the street of Waikiki. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
And, we were home by 12 o'clock. Next day, we got up and climbed Diamond Head, and we all piggybacked him up a mountain, hungover. And he just loved it.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah. One morning we got up at like 4 a.m. to be in North Shore so I could go swimming with the sharks. And the owners of them, father sat with Jimmy on the boat so I could stay in the water.
Oh, that's so lovely.
And Jimmy just gave him big cuddles and was giggling the whole time.
Oh,
so
that's so cool.
Yeah, and it was just an experience for both of us, I think. And it just made me want to travel more with him.
Yeah. Hawaii is definitely on my list. My favorite movie is Blue Crush, and like every time I'm having a sad day, I put on Blue Crush and I just pretend that's my life, just surfing and stuff. Oh, good. So can you tell us a little bit about the day that you found out that Jimmy was unique?
How it all started was when Jimmy was about 2 months old, his great grandmother on his father's side said to me that he doesn't look at anything when you hold a baby. Like, they'll focus on your face, or they'll go to grab a toy, or focus on that toy when you put it in front of them, which Jimmy wasn't doing. And she said, maybe get an eye test. So we went and got the eye test. And I remember it was a long drive. I drove from Caloundra to, I think, Maroochydore.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. All I remember is I was sitting in that room by myself, and the doctor said some big words to me. And I had Jimmy on my lap, and he shined a little light in Jimmy's face. It was like a pen light, and it had a little bubble thing on it. And he said these big words, and I said, so what? He can't see. And he goes, no. And I said, will he ever see? And he goes, no. And I said, well, that's all you needed to tell me.
Mm.
And it kind of went silent, and I walked out, and the drive home with Jimmy's dad was dead silent in the car.
Mm. That would have been really overwhelming.
Yeah. All I remember, I was just like, what do I do now? Like, so, and then someone gave me a number of a guy, I think his name was Robert, and he was with the Blind Society or something.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember the name because it was that long ago. And he came over and we talked about Jimmy and what we could do. And from then on, I just knew that I would do anything to help Jimmy.
Yeah, definitely. Was the doctor supportive, or did you leave feeling like, oh my God, what am I doing now? You know what I mean? You know how sometimes you can go and see a doctor and it just goes straight over your head because it's overwhelming, and sometimes you don't understand what they're talking about, really.
I think he was more just doing his job.
Yeah.
We didn't go back and see him because we got the results, or we found out the information that we needed to.
Yeah.
But my personal doctor, most supportive doctor ever, I've been seeing her since I was 13.
Oh, that's so good.
So then she knows all about Jimmy.
Yeah. It's good to have the same doctor. Like, my doctor now was Zach's doctor, and then Zach's mum's doctor when she found out she was pregnant with Zach. So, you know, it's good. They just know the whole family.
And the history and everything.
Yeah. So what does a typical day in the life look like for you both?
Well, it can be very lazy, but it also can be very busy.
Yeah.
So obviously Jimmy's 25, mm-hmm. so I have to do absolutely everything for him. Mm-hmm. So when we get up in the morning, when it wasn't cold, we were getting up for the sunrises at 5 a.m., making sure we're home by 6. Because if I had to work, it takes me about 2 hours to get Jimmy and I ready, which is bathing him, or showering, and then drying him, putting his clothes on, feeding him breakfast, then sitting there and then getting myself ready.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time, and you can't make him eat fast. He eats at his own pace, so that can take a while as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then the medication. So that's a day when I work. When I don't work and we have a sleep in, same routine, so it may be a bit later. Mm-hmm. Then we'll get up, and if I have something going, we'll go out for a day or for a drive because Jimmy likes that, or go for a bike ride.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to keep Jimmy entertained. He can't really do it himself, so he might get bored.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's easy because he's disabled and he doesn't he wants to do stuff, but he'll easy just lay there. So, you know, if you were to do nothing with him, he'd just lay there and do nothing and never learn anything. So I try and do things throughout the day with him.
Yeah. Like, you're always out and about and active. It's so great.
Yeah.
Makes me think that I should be a bit more of an outdoorsy person.
I'm not all the time. I think I show more than what I, like, what you see is...
Yeah, highlights. Yeah.
Like, we do have a lot of days. Like, the past 2 weeks, actually, Jimmy's wanted to go to sleep at 2 in the arvo, and I've not been able to get him up.
I'm jealous. Yeah. I want a 2 o'clock nap.
I think it's just because the weather's changing and he just wants to go to sleep. And I'll go in there and I'll try to pull him out of bed to try and keep him up, and he just flat out refuses. Yeah. So I'm just
no way. Let me sleep. Yeah. That's like me trying to get up in the morning. So do you guys have a lot of support from like family and friends or NDIS or anything?
I have the NDIS, which helps a lot. So that helps for his care for Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays when I work. And then if I have my time on my own, like, I can ring any of the carers.
Yeah.
And they pick Jimmy up and take him out to do social and community stuff. Yeah. So
that's amazing. It's so good that there is that support there now with the NDIS, because I feel like for you, obviously being a single mum as well, for you to be a good mum, you need to have you time and you need to have that balance in your life. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. I remember when Jimmy was in hospital when he was about 8 months old, and we were in hospital for a good, maybe a bit older than that, but we were in hospital for a good 8 weeks or so. Mm. And the paediatrician would come around, you know, the ward, and they check on their kids, and he'd said to me, "What are you doing this weekend?" And I said, "Oh, well, I'll be up here because Jimmy's got to stay in hospital." And he goes, "No, you're not." "Oh, no, here," I said, "taking Jimmy home because Jimmy could go home." And he goes, "Oh, no, you're not. We're keeping Jimmy in for the weekend and you're going to go out and be a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I went out and I was a 19-year-old and I was kind of a little intoxicated and saw him having drinks with his family. Yeah. And he waved to me. He said, "Good on you."
Yeah. So, oh, that's so good.
I remember when I was younger, I had not only him but other people say, "Don't wake up one day at 40 and have done nothing for yourself."
Mm-hmm.
Like, look after you, choose yourself first, because that'll make you a better parent.
Yeah.
So I've done that.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like, you have to be happy and content with your own life before you can help someone else, I think. Like, you know, there's that saying that if a plane's going down, you've got to put on your oxygen mask first before you put on someone else's. You've got to help yourself before you can help someone else.
Yes.
I think that's so important. So what are some of the challenges that you guys face day to day, or that you have faced over the last few years?
I think when Jimmy was having his seizures a lot, that's probably the hardest part, to watch him through that. I know there was a time when he had his very first seizure when I had to give him mouth to mouth and I brought him back to life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've written a blog about that which tells more in detail. Mm. So that's probably the hardest thing. And when he does have a seizure, I always worry because he does go blue in the mouth. But I think I've managed that because he has a problem with he's still in nappies and he has a problem going to do a bowel movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was all the toxins in his body from not going to the toilet regular that was causing the seizures.
Yeah, now they build up.
Yeah. Mm. So I think because I have that under control now with Metamucil and using suppositories, he hasn't had a seizure for very long. But that's probably one of my biggest struggles, is worrying about that.
Because
sometimes when I think he's a bit sick, I'm like, oh, could he have one or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it's the every morning checking his bed to see if he hasn't weed, because pretty much every second day I have to wash his sheets and his pillowcase because he dribbles and all of that. And yeah, he wees through his clothes a lot, so if you forget the one medication, he might wee and then you've got wet clothes. So
yeah,
I think that's my biggest struggle, is with the worrying about the seizures and you know, changing nappies all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, this is, like, I don't tell many people this, but obviously we're talking, so it's got me thinking. You know, I've watched my friends who had kids around the same time as me or a little bit older, and their children have grown up, now have jobs and, you know, going out off on their own. And I know that's never going to happen with Jimmy.
Mm.
So I guess that's a struggle within myself I've had to overcome and deal with.
Mm. It would be definitely hard to see that, and then obviously your life is different to that, so it's hard. Comparison is the joy of thief, I always say.
100%.
You've just got to, what were we talking about earlier? We've got to be authentic and be ourselves. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. What I found, the reason why I asked you to come on this podcast was because I obviously find you both really inspiring, and every time I see you are positive and literally are like sunshine. You know when you just meet people and you're like, I need to be your friend. You just are really positive and have a good aura and outlook. And I know that every day may not be positive and, you know, bright, happy rainbows, but how do you stay so positive most of the time?
Well, there was a time when I wasn't so positive, when I was very negative about this whole situation. Because when you become a parent, not just with a disability, I think you go through a lot of different emotions. Your world's changed. And I had a very negative thought on this whole thing, like, why me? Why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? You know, and I cried a lot and I was very down and I did some silly things and I went through all of that. And I think now the reason why, that's why I am so positive, because I allow myself to grieve and go through that. But also I look at my life and I'm like, what have I got to complain about? I have a job, I have a home, I live near the beach, which is my ultimate dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a car, and when I wake up and walk into Jimmy's room, 99% of the mornings, he's waking up with a smile on his face. Mm. And it just blows my mind away because he's never seen the world like I have.
Yeah.
And he's happy. Yeah. He's always happy. And he just, it just, like, sometimes I've cried because I'm just like, you were just so happy. And I'm thinking of all these silly things in my head and you don't care. Like, he'll reach his hand if I'm sad and put it on me and tap me. Yeah. And I just am like,
I saw he did that before. He just reached out when you were talking to hold your hand. I was like, oh, you're so cute.
He's just checking on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's what keeps me positive because he is a light in my life. Mm. He really, yeah. Hey, Jimmy.
Oh, that's very beautiful. So do you have any advice for single mums out there? Like, how do you manage day to day?
Yeah. Take time for yourself.
Yep.
Like, basically you need to have, and don't lose who you are. You're a mum, but you're not just a mum. Yep. You're you.
Yeah, definitely.
So do not lose who you are just because you're now a mum.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, that's very powerful. And do you have any advice for any of the listeners who might also have children with disability or newly diagnosed children with disability? What you would have told yourself when you were 17? Yeah, 17.
Probably ask for help a little bit more if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And grieve. Like, you're allowed to grieve. Mm-hmm. And if anyone says you can't, which I've had people say to me, oh, you're still crying, ignore them because it takes a while. And everyone goes through a process of going through what they need to, and you know, it'll be hard, and know that it gets easier. Yeah, it's hard, but if you can push through it, you'll have the best life. And which I used to do, compare, is don't do that, because your life is completely different to someone else's and you don't know the struggles that they have either. So look at your life as a whole,
mm-hmm.
and ask yourself, what can I do? How can I make my days better? And just try, do your best. And that's all you can do.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I love that. So how does Jimmy inspire you? You kind of said it, how you walk into his room and he's smiling. I've even seen that on Instagram when you're like, wake up, and he's so happy.
He rolls over. Yeah. Pretty much that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Or I was just sitting on the couch and you've probably heard, like, or I put on my Instagram, 12 o'clock at night, and I'll go, oh, listen. And he'll be giggling away and he's just laughing to himself. We go places and he'll just laugh and gives people hugs. He inspires me in that way because he's just so happy. He loves life.
His laugh, I have heard it, it's very infectious, isn't it? You just can't help but laugh as well. Yeah, I love it.
I have a lot of people that follow me and inbox me and just say, you know, it's funny, a lot of males will be going through a hard time and they watch Jimmy's posts and they say, you know, they think about their life and then they see Jimmy and it really makes them happy and it puts them in a better mood for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not just saying it as Jimmy's mum. It's working for other people. He has this aura, like you said before, about him that changes.
Yeah, it's very captivating, isn't it? Yeah. So obviously you get some beautiful messages on Instagram with how, you know, Jimmy and yourself has inspired people.
Yeah.
Have you ever been out in public and received positive, you know, comments, or do people stop to try and help? And
yes, I've had a lot of negative, like back in the day when we were younger, I had bad comments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was one time we were in the shops and it stuck with me for a little while, and these little kids were, Jimmy flaps his arms around when he's happy, and these little kids were pointing and laughing, and I said, oh, please don't do that. And the mother looked at me, filthiest look, grabbed her kids, turned away and didn't apologize or anything. And I felt really down about that, but then I realized, you know, that's just them. Another time we were out, my friend had Jimmy in the wheelchair. And she was waiting, I was going through the checkout, and she was the end of the checkout just with Jimmy, and an old lady said to her, I don't think you should have him outside, he should be at home.
Oh my goodness.
So I've had a few incidents like that. They're probably my worst two, but other than that, I get a lot of people, and if you've ever hung out with me long enough, you'll notice that people always go, oh, he's too big to be carried, oh, he should be carrying you, oh, he's asleep. And I have to say, no, that's how his eyes are. He's blind, they don't open all the time because he doesn't need to have them open. We've taken him out clubbing, and one time these young boys were looking at us, and my friends were like, oh, they just won't stop staring. So I turned around and I said, come over here. And they were like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And they walked over to me and I said, why are you pointing at me and my son? And he goes, oh, he's too young to be in this club. Why are you having out clubbing? And I said, no, he's actually 24, or he's 23 back then.
Yeah.
He has every right to be out, and just because he's leaning down doesn't mean he's not enjoying himself. He hops up, he listens to the music, and he's dancing.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh man, I'm so sorry. They gave us a hug, they met Jimmy, he went back and told his mates, and they were looking over and smiling and waving.
Yeah.
So sometimes you've got to be a bit forceful and like say, hey, you have no right to say that, and then people change their mind.
Yeah.
So
I think, like, obviously you've got a very thick skin and you're very resilient, you know, from what you your journey and what you've been through. I feel like a lot of people are quick to make a judgment when they just don't understand things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
And I think that's amazing that you do say, you know, come over here and, you know, explain it. And then they can be like, oh, okay, and really take a step back to really rethink about what they said.
And that, yeah, it happens a lot. When we're in Hawaii, actually, I had people running up to me and we were walking along the beach and tapping me on the shoulder saying, oh, he's asleep. And my friends were getting so angry. But I'm so used to this because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
My friends were like, if another person touches you and tells you, I'm going to crack it. I was like, oh, just ignore them. They don't know. One day, one morning, I was walking back from the sunrise just around the corner here. And one of the guys in the corner house said to me, oh, he's a bit early sleeping on your back to have him out. I said, no, he's blind. He likes it.
Yeah.
We're just up early. He found me on Facebook. And he messaged me that night because he said he couldn't stop thinking about what I'd said.
Yeah.
And he told his son that he saw a girl that was piggybacking a boy. And his son knew me, sent a photo, and then they found me and he wanted to apologise. And he said it stuck with him all day. And then he was like, I didn't know who this Nikki and Jimmy was, but my son and his friends did. And he goes, I'm so glad I said something that day.
Yeah.
So
that's really lovely that he reached out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think he felt a little bit bad commenting when he wasn't sure.
Yeah. And you seem like such a forgiving person as well. Like, if people are quick to make a judgment, you're not gonna completely, you know, you're not a negative person from what I've picked up. And like, you and I have only really had, we don't know each other that well, you know what I mean? We live next door to each other and we've had a few run-ins here and there, but from what I what I've picked up already, you know, you seem a very positive person, so.
Well, I try to explain it. I think it's better than snapping at someone or getting angry, so I'll just go. And in the way I say things, people will say something and I'll just go, oh, he's blind, he can't walk. And then they go, oh,
yeah. Okay. And then do they get a bit awkward and they don't really know how to say it?
Yeah, most of the time they, like, will keep looking at me and my friends, or I'll notice. And I'm like, they're still looking at them, like, yeah. Because they're like, oh, you can tell they feel a little bit bad.
Yeah, they probably feel a bit guilty for saying
that.
Yeah. I guess that brings me to my next question. And that is, do you think there's a stigma surrounding people who live with a disability? And if so, what would you say to people who aren't quite sure about, you know, how to approach you or how to ask the right questions?
I'm pretty open to questions. So if someone wants to ask me a question, go and ask me, because I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather someone ask me straight up than try to be like, what do I do? But then also, with some people, might not like it. So I guess you can just smile and nod. I always find when I'm out in public and I smile and nod at someone, you acknowledge that you know their situation and that's okay, you know, rather than stare. Staring is probably the one thing I dislike.
Yeah.
You just stare at me and stare at Jimmy and I, because I feel like, why are they still looking at me? Like, can you please, if you're going to look at me, do it so I don't know. Because it makes me feel really uncomfortable, and that happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just rude too. Don't stare.
Yeah, that's right. And Jimmy does get it with his flapping his arm around when in the wheelchair. So sometimes, you know, I wish I had a shirt that says, please don't stare at me because I can't see you.
We should make one. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, so on the back when I'm piggybacking, people can see it, or on his hat or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so. I love that idea. That would be so cool.
And I don't know what to say to people, but just acknowledge and smile. Just a genuine, nice smile, acknowledge and look away. I think people appreciate that, because you see some people and they're struggling with their disabled child or adult out. Some might need help, some might not. I guess if they need help, they've probably already got it there. or you could walk up and ask, or just be polite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even just small gestures would be helpful. You know what I mean? Like if you're coming out of Coles, would you like a hand with your shopping or something like that? Is that that's something that happened. People would like, or you would like people to do?
Yeah. And that's actually happened to me.
Oh, cool.
I was in Coles one time in Mooloolaba, and a young boy, I reckon he would have been about 12. I heard him talking to his mum about me, and I wasn't sure. So I was like, oh, okay. And then he walked over and he goes, excuse me. And I said, yes. And he goes, can I carry the basket? Because I was piggybacking Jimmy and holding the basket. And I said, it's okay. I've just got this one last thing and I'm going to the cash register.
Mm.
And he goes, are you sure? And I said, yes, thank you so much. And he went back to his mum and he really wanted to help me. And he come back and he goes, oh, are you sure? I really like to help you. And I said, it's okay. And I probably should have let him, but I felt a bit like, but I was pretty much going to go straight to the register and leave.
Yeah.
But it was just, this is a 12-year-old boy.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah. And his mum was really like, yep, like go for it. And I felt that's the communication there too, between the mother has been a great parent to show her son that it's okay to go and ask people.
Yeah.
Or to be polite like that.
That's amazing. Mm. Oh, good on that mother for raising that little boy.
Yes.
So polite.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. You obviously spoke about your blogs and Instagram. So anyone listening, if you want to have daily inspiration, I highly recommend following Nikki and Jimmy. So what's your Instagram handle for people to find you?
It's Nikki, Nikki.and.Jimmy, Jimmy.
And you post on your blog as well, is that correct?
I do. I haven't in a while because my blog's more for when I do travel with Jimmy and I'll write something. Jimmy, what's that noise? It's a yucky noise. We don't like that. mainly when I travel or I've got something interesting to say.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be another post soon, but we'll see if I'll post it or not.
Yeah. Do you find that doing blog posts is a good kind of like good for your mental health, like reflecting and like a bit of a journal as well? Or do you find it quite vulnerable?
Bit of both. Because some things you're talking about things that like there's one that I was a bit angry in, and after I wrote it I was like, oh, should I have posted that? But then I was like, no, because that is exactly how I was feeling at that time. Mm. And maybe sometimes people need to see not just the good parts.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And then the holidays, you know, I go back and read it and it gets me excited because I realise I've achieved so much with Jimmy in just a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be really proud. So you guys have obviously been overseas a couple of times then, right?
Yeah, we've been to Bali twice, Hawaii. I've been to America, but I wanted to take Jimmy, obviously. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, not for any time soon, no. I don't think.
We do actually have a big holiday planned that we had to cancel.
Oh, no.
So that's a big secret until we get to go do it. But we've got something really huge planned for when we can go interstate.
Yay. So, I'm excited for you. How exciting. And so that was my next question. What are some of your goals this year? So maybe the trip when you can.
Well, the one that got cancelled, yes. I do want a new car, so I've been saving for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year's kind of went weird.
It's a bit of a write-off year, isn't it? If I'm going to be honest, it's... I don't know why I bought a calendar.
I did have a massive plan and I was supposed to go to Canada at the end of the year with a friend. And for a whole month, I started planning it and then COVID happened. So that went out the window and then I was like, okay. And then my other little holiday, that was kind of still maybe and then that had to be stopped. So... Yeah. Everything I had planned got stopped. So now I'm sort of thinking, what can I do? And I thought, well, I can focus on buying a new car.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what I'm meant to do this year. Buy a new car for us, nice fresh, because we've had the same Hilux for a while.
Yeah. How does Jimmy go getting in that? Is that hard for you?
No, I can help him prop him up. He loves it.
Yeah.
But the reason why I get a Hilux or a 4B is because we love going up the beach.
Yeah.
Jimmy loves it.
Yeah. It's so fun up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to say thank you so much for you and Jimmy for coming on the podcast today. I really hope that anyone listening can draw some inspiration and feel inspired from this. And I highly recommend following Nikki and Jimmy on Instagram for your daily motivation. It certainly motivates me. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That's all right. Thanks for having me, Tess.
No worries.